church? Hell no. Are you no longer feeling comfortable in church? This podcast is for individuals who are desperately missing God, but don't know how to find Him. Substance abuse, domestic violence, sex offenses, acrimonious divorce can contribute to discomfort in the church. For these individuals, church is just not an option anymore. Ordained minister Dennis Hall and his guests invite you to listen to this podcast for topics that are inspiring, uplifting, and will bring hope to those who just feel church is not relevant in their lives today.
I'm Dr. Dennis Hall, and I'm delighted that you're listening to this podcast today. It seems like things are sort of exploding all across the United States. Every time I turn on the television or listen to the radio, someone's talking about protesters, anti-Israel protesters on campuses and on highways and other places, you know, all across America. We're seeing the police seem to struggle with enforcing the law amid all these anti-Israel protests that have blocked roadways and bridges and interrupted campus life at several universities. And law enforcement seems to be baffled at trying to, navigate the free speech rights amid the whole web of local and state and federal laws. You know, protesters have brought drivers to a standstill on the Golden Gate Bridge and blocked vehicles on the Brooklyn Bridge and prevented travelers from approaching the Chicago O'Hare Airport, as well as the protest that we're seeing on campuses aimed at Jews, aimed at Jews right here in the United States. And some are beginning to view these pro-Palestinian protesters as domestic terrorists. That's interesting, but however, under federal law, domestic terrorism must involve acts that are dangerous to human life and that are in violation of the criminal laws of the United States or any state within the United States. So if these protesters stop short of using destructive devices or explosive devices, their actions really can't legally be classified as acts of domestic terrorism. Now, however, most law enforcement officials agree that there are charges that can be brought against these groups just on the basis of their interruption of life here in America. And I'm told if there's a deliberate tactic to block roads, especially if it's part of a national conspiracy, that it would violate numerous criminal laws. You know, we view on our television screens protesters being hauled off by police officers and charged with committing various offenses, including disorderly conduct. And these things are low-level misdemeanors. And usually after the protesters are handcuffed, they're let go. Many of us are sitting out here wondering why the Department of Justice and the FBI are not aggressively enforcing laws that prohibit protesters from wearing masks on bridges and highways, and federal laws that prevent two or more people from going on to highways with the intent to hinder or prevent our free exercise, enjoyment of any right or privilege. I guess it's going to take someone dying. Somebody dying in an ambulance trying to get to health care before law enforcement cracks down on these illegal activities and the people that are engaging in it. It's just confusing. I mean, we've seen the FBI label conservative parents as domestic terrorists when they question what their children were being taught in schools, and see them investigate pro-life advocates for voicing their views on abortion. And yet, there doesn't seem to be much that's being done about these anti-Israel, anti-Jew protesters. The most shocking in these protests is the chanting, "Death to America! Death to America!" Now, the idea of burning the American flag in our streets and labeling it freedom of speech is repugnant to me and many others. However, I do not see how chanting "death to America" is anything other than an expression to rally people to overthrow our government. You know, when the Hamas terrorists launched a shocking assault on Israel back on October 7th, killing hundreds, including children and babies, and taking hostages, it ignited a devastating Israel-Gaza war, with Israel committed to destroying this Hamas terrorist group. And yes, as in every war, there have been civilian casualties. But there's no credible evidence that Israel has been careless in their efforts to protect the civilians. You know, in the meantime, Hamas terrorists and their counterparts, Hezbollah, the Houthis, and the Islamic resistance in Iraq have all launched attacks on Israel over recent months, all apparently funded by Iran. This is unbelievable in terms of what's going on. And then in recent days, Iran launched a missile attack using over 300 missiles and drones to attack Israel. It appears that the current administration, as they lifted sanctions on Iran, they were providing the funding. They were providing the funding, indirectly, yes, for these attacks on Israel. Now, there have been more than 150 attacks on U.S. targets in the Middle East region since October 7th by all of these groups that I've mentioned, backed by Iran. You know, an attack on a U.S. base in Jordan in January is the first deadly strike. You know, the nation of Israel, as we know it today, was established in 1948 by the United Nations, who adopted a plan to divide the area into Jewish and Arab states. The Arab world rejected this partition, and from the very beginning has been at war with Israel. You know, the international community has long worked to establish an independent Palestinian state, but that's never happened. That's never happened. The militant Palestinian group Hamas has rejected every effort at peace and continues to push for a fully sovereign Palestinian state that would replace Israel, that would replace Israel as a fully sovereign Palestinian nation and replace Israel as a political entity. Now, Iran has denied having any involvement in the October 7th attacks on Israel. But it has politically and financially supported the Palestinian militant group Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad. It also supports the Houthi fighters in Yemen who've attacked Israel and U.S. targets in the Red Sea area. You know, Iran appears to be directly involved in everything that has occurred and is occurring now. Israel is being attacked from many directions, and this has been the case since the country was formed by the United Nations. You know, in the face of these attacks by so many, we have significant numbers of people in America, especially young people, who are demanding that Israel cease fire. Now, you wonder, why don't these protesters demand that Hamas release the hostages, which includes American hostages. Now, these protesters seem to want the same thing that Hamas is demanding, the elimination of Israel. The elimination of Israel. You know, this is what is meant when you hear the chant, from the river to the sea, Palestinians will be free. From the river to the sea, Palestinians will be free. You know, it means that Palestinians would have their own state that would exist from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, the current location of Israel. You know, now the chant means that the entire land of Israel would be ethnically cleansed of the Jewish population and that the Palestinian people would live there instead. The chant denies that the Jews have any connection to Israel, which has existed since biblical times. Jews have always lived in the land of Israel. In fact, its real name is Judea. Judea, from the river to the sea, supports the expulsion and even genocide of Israel's Jewish inhabitants. You know, additionally, it rejects a peaceful solution to the conflict where Israel and Palestine could have a two-state solution and live side by side. It calls for the eradication of Israel in its entirety. That's what it calls for. You know, this phrase, from the river to the sea, is not something that is only heard on college campuses and demonstrations across our country and around the globe. It's also the official anthem of terror groups like Hamas. You know, it's become obvious that some of these demonstrations chanting from the river to the sea do not even understand what it means. They're ignorant. They don't even understand what it means, but they're participating. But there are others. There are others, particularly the organizers of these demonstrations, that know full well what it means. You know, in a previous podcast after the October 7th attack on Israel, I outlined the history of why people hate the Jews. You know, it's my contention that the Jewish people began to be hated when Moses came down from the mountain with the Ten Commandments. The assertion that there was only one real God was disturbing to the nations surrounding them, and that continues today. Through the centuries, there has been much derogatory information spread about Jewish culture. Even today, surveys tell us that 95% of the Muslim world, they have a negative view of Jewish people. You know, in the Muslim world, Jews are characterized as bloodsuckers who attacked the Palestinians, warmongers, and descendants of apes and pigs. Some Muslim leaders freely admit that as a child, when they were growing up in a Muslim family, they were taught by their mother and father and other relatives and neighbors to wish for the death of Jews, who were considered the darkest of enemies. You know, religious tutors and preachers in the mosque, they set aside extra time to pray for the destruction of Jews. Now, you may find it hard to believe, but all over the Middle East, the hatred for Jews can be found in textbooks for children as young as three, complete with illustrations of Jews depicted with monster-like qualities. You know, mainstream educational television programs in that part of the world are consistently anti-Semitic. In songs and books and newspaper articles and blogs, Jews are variously compared to donkeys, rats, cockroaches, and even vampires and a host of other imaginary creatures. You know, this kind of thing has gone on for centuries. for centuries. And Jews have been depicted in every derogatory way that you can. All kinds of false rumors spread about this group of people. You know, many explanations have been offered for the failure of successive United States administrations to achieve peace in the Middle East. However, in this context, if you think about it, why would anybody want to make peace with a group of bloodsuckers and descendants of apes and monkeys millions of Muslims have been conditioned to regard Jews not only as the enemies of Palestine, but the enemies of all Muslims, of God, and of all humanity. You know, Arab leaders have been tireless in educating and nursing generations to believe that Jews are the scum of the human race, the rats of the world, violators of agreements and pacts and covenants, the murderers of prophets, and the offspring of apes and pigs. This is the picture painted of the Jewish people by the Muslim world. Now, you may have heard Muslim leaders refer to Israel as little Satan, and the United States as big Satan. Well, according to some sources, Ruhollah Khomeini, the leader of the Iranian Revolution, first used the term while talking about Israel's backing of the Shah at that time and the close ties to the United States. But in fact, there's a Lebanese border gate near Israel where two pillars have been erected for people to perform a simple symbolic stoning of little Satan, Israel, and the great Satan, the United States. Now, although Muslims chant both death to Israel and death to the United States with the equal fervor, they know that the great Satan, America, is their greatest enemy. Now, what's disturbing and what's caused the explosion of news coverage currently is this chanting, death to America. Death to America in the streets of the United States. You know, in my opinion and the opinion of others, this chant is serious and must be eliminated from our culture. Now, have you ever heard of the term sedition? Well, sedition is a federal crime, and it's defined as advocating for an uprising against an overthrow of the government through speech, publication, or organization. You know, individuals who are guilty of committing a seditious conspiracy that are guilty of willfully advocating for the violent overthrow of government by publishing materials, or advocating the overthrow of the government by force, or by organizing groups of people to overthrow, or interfere with the government by force. Now, it's said that people giving speeches suggesting the need for armed revolution are viewed by the courts as merely expressing an opinion. You know, charges of sedition require that it be proved that their words or actions create a clear and present danger. Now, is chanting death to America creating clear and present dangers in our society? I think all you have to do is look at what's happening in some universities at the present time. You know, the famous Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes wrote that a person's First Amendment rights, that's your free speech rights, that a person's First Amendment rights could be curtailed when the words used create a clear and present danger, because they will bring about substantive evils that Congress has the right to prevent. Mm-hmm. Chanting death to America clearly brings about substantial evils in this nation. And in my opinion, in the opinion of others, this is an act of sedition. Now, what we really need are some patriotic and courageous federal prosecutors. And what I'm saying, what others are saying, and what the Supreme Court Justice Oliver Wendell Holmes was saying is you forfeit your right to free speech when you join in a group and begin chanting death to America. Death to America. We are in dangerous times. You know, if you're listening to this podcast and describe yourself as a believer in God and a follower of Jesus Christ, then you should know that Israel is much more than an important ally of the United States in the Middle East. Much more than that. They are an important ally in the Middle East. In fact, they may be the only ally that we can count on in that part of the world. Now, the Bible is full of teachings about God's chosen people, Israel and the Jews, and Judea. I might say the area of Judea. All in the scripture, in Genesis 12, 1 and 3, we see the Lord telling Abram, I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Then in Zechariah 2, 8, we read, for this is what the Lord Almighty says. After the glorious one has sent me against the nations that have plundered you, or whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. In other words, God's telling Israel that they are the apple of his eye. God is telling Israel that they're the apple. You know, in Deuteronomy 33:29, we read, blessed are you, Israel, who is like you, a people saved by the Lord. He is your shield and your helper and your glorious sword. Your enemies will cower before you, and you will tread on their heights. Then further over in Isaiah 46:4, we read, I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. And then in the Psalms 121:4 and 5 and 7, we're told, indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. Yes. Israel. Throughout the scripture is replete with teachings about the role of Israel as God's chosen people and Judea as his chosen land. You know, as I begin to wind down this podcast, we're beginning to hear people on the news, and representatives and senators begin to propose ways to deal with the student protest in particular, saying things like, well, if it's a foreign student who participated, then they have violated the terms of their student visa and they ought to be asked to leave this country. They're saying things like federal funding for these universities should be withheld. If the administration of these universities creates an environment where these things can happen on campuses across America. You know, the truth is God entered into covenants with the nation of Israel. And his covenants are not only with the Jewish people, but they have to do with the land they occupy. You know, frankly, I'm not concerned about Israel's ability to defend their people and their land, because the scripture teaches me that God's hand is upon them. I'm much more concerned about the land we call the United States of America, referred to as the big Satan by many people in the Muslim world. You know, we get to the point in the United States where people are allowed to shout in the streets, death to America, death to America, then we're teetering on the brink of self-destruction. We're a nation that's becoming godless. We are a nation that is finding solidarity with terrorist groups, a nation that has lost its moral compass. You know, we no longer understand the role that God should play in the political decisions of this nation. Now, you and I, we can change this direction by doing what the scripture tells us in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn away from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now, I want to thank you for listening to this podcast today. We are in a very critical time in America. This is not the time to be quiet. It's the time to speak up. And I want to challenge you to do what the scripture says, and that is humble yourself, seek the Lord, and pray regularly for our country. May God bless you. Thank you so much.